what the Lord has given me this morning to help us out. I have the Lord. Please pray for me. All right, the message this morning is entitled, A Small Adjustment. A Small Adjustment. And before we get into the lesson of the word, I want you to briefly say, I did turn it on, is it not? Okay, let me double check.
Small point, and that is, small is relative, right? Small is relative to what you're comparing it to. So I want us to remember that before we get into the message. Again, I want you to pray for me. Small adjustments is what the message is entitled. So sometimes in life, we come to a place where we feel like we're spinning our wheels. What we're going up against is of such magnitude and is such a great and such a giant to us that when we push up against that thing, it seems like we can't get any traction, we can't get anywhere. And so when we come up against those types of things, then we have the enemy right there to try to discourage us. We have our own selves sometimes that cannot be the kind. Sometimes we're not kind to our own selves. I don't know about you all, but sometimes we're hard on our own selves. And so we're coming up against this difficult thing. We're not making any progress, and we become dissatisfied with our position in life. All right. Many times we attribute our lack of movement or success. We attribute that to a need for a drastic and a great change, right? There's something that we need to be doing that is of such since the problem is great, then what we have to do is going to have to be great in order to overcome this difficulty that we are being faced with. Right? And so we think that we got to do some outlandish, giant and great thing. And so what that does many times, that can be discouraging in and of itself. When the children of Israel, they went over to scout the land out of the enemies, and they came back with that negative report, there was two portions of that caused them to have a negative report. Not only did they see the giants, right, but in their mind, and most importantly, what they were thinking is that this is a big problem, and in order to overcome this big problem, we're going to have to do something really big in order to overcome this big problem, right? And so what happens is, in our minds, we look at the problem, and we think because the problem is great, we think the solution or our answer is going to have to be some great thing. But I want to encourage us this morning, and this is all, this ain't in my notes, but I want to encourage us this morning that just because the problem is great doesn't mean that what's going to fix the problem has to be great and grand and special. What did David do when faced with Goliath? Huh? What did he use? He used a small stone and a slingshot that he had used time and time again against many different adversaries. Right? And so what I want to encourage you this morning, just because the problem is great doesn't mean that what you're going to have to do has to be so difficult and so drastic and thereby so discouraging and so hard for us to get our minds wrapped around even trying or attempting to do it. The enemy, what he does many times is he will discourage us to the point where we don't even want to try to do what it is that we need to do in order to be victorious. Because what we think we're going to have to do is going to be too difficult for us to do anyway. I want us to be encouraged by a scripture in Luke 1 and 37. Again, I like using familiar scriptures because if you just had a piece of the Bible, it can help you get to heaven. All right, so we need to learn scriptures that can help us and hold us in these days and in these times. Luke 1 and 37 reads, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." All right, I want you to focus on two words in this scripture, and that is with God. All right, with God. And we'll go back to that, but remember, with God, nothing shall be impossible. All right, and so here's a personal experience, and I don't always like using myself, but in this instance, I think it is appropriate. I ask you to pray for me that I do it in a good way. All right, and so I've been struggling with this problem for some time. Sometimes I put in prayer requests for this problem. It's a natural problem. It's a weight loss problem. It's a nutrition problem. It's a health problem, right? And so I want to lose weight, right? And so in order to do that, because I feel like I can't come to God and tell him that heal me of my high blood pressure or heal me of this or heal me of that. This is the way I feel. I'm not telling you can or can't. But if there's something that I could be doing that I'm not doing, I feel like I'm responsible to do that first. May God help us this morning. I'm not putting that on you. I'm saying that's me. And I feel like the Lord has dealt with me in that way. And so I want to lose weight. I want better habits. I want to exercise more. I want better nutrition that will culminate in better health. I want my health to be as well as it can. This is a temporal problem. All right? And so this seems like a really daunting task. I don't know about anybody else if you have this problem, but it seems huge. And so in my mind, I'm going to have to do some really great and grand things in order to overcome this problem. Here's the problem. I know myself, right? I know myself. What have I done historically? I love food. Food is great. I love food and it's awesome. I like good food even more. Right? I'm being honest with you this morning. How am I going to overcome something if I'm not honest with myself? Right? So to be honest with myself, historically, if you put some of grandma's great cinnamon rolls in front of me and you put some great vegetables in front of me, I promise you I'm going to eat the cinnamon rolls first every time. I'm just going to be honest with you, right? So I know that's a big problem. How am I ever going to get healthy if my mind's acts? So I got to deal with who I am and what I got going on, right? And so I know myself. I love good food. I'm an emotional eater. That's another part of the problem that I have. I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. I even eat in the middle just in case it can make me happy or sad. I just eat. That's what I do. I like eating food. It's awesome. Right? But that's that what that does to me is it has a negative effect on my body. It has a negative. I feel responsible. I feel responsible to not only be a child of God and to further the kingdom and do his will, but you know, God gave me this body and I feel a responsibility to the body that he gave me. Right? And so historically, I eat when I'm happy, I eat when I'm sad, I eat just in case. I might get happy or sad. This is what I do. May God help us this morning. All right, so here's another problem. I eat this way, and so I gain the weight, right? And then what do I do? Remember, I preached a message a while back. The Lord gave me an understanding that one imbalance creates another, right? And so what do? I eat all this bad food. I gain all this weight. I look at the scale. I look at what I'm looking like. I look what my performance is, and I say, this ain't right. I know what I'll do. I'm going to exercise vigorously. I'm going to exercise every second of every day. I'm exaggerating, right? Every opportunity that I have a chance to get to exercise, I'm going to exercise in order to get this weight off of me. And this used to work, by the way, when I was in my 20s and 30s. It doesn't. Listen, it don't work like that no more. May God help us. And so one imbalance created another. So I do all this crazy exercising, and what happens? I end up injuring myself. I either injure myself and then become less motivated, or I just get tired of exercising and I lose motivation. Right? Either way, I'm still in this rut. Remember, I was talking about the spinning of the wheels, right? With God, nothing shall be impossible. But these are all things that are adding to, I'm looking at the problem, and I'm looking at what I historically do in terms of what type of solutions I have available to me, and it seems impossible. The other thing that I have a problem with is I've done this before. I've been down this road many times before. And that can be discouraging in itself. Have you ever had something that you have come up against and you seem like you have gained some victory in that area, and then some kind of way you slide back into where you were in the beginning, or even worse, further than where you started from? That can be discouraging. And so now in our minds, what do we say? I gotta bear down, and I'm gonna do something. I'm really gonna do something. I'm gonna eat 1,000 calories a day, and every time I get a chance, I'm gonna exercise vigorously. I'm gonna sleep as much as I can. I'm only gonna eat vegetables and fruits and things that are gonna make me healthy, right? That's what we do, right? We're overcompensating for something. We're getting out of balance in one area, and so then we get out of balance in the other area because of what we feel like we need to do. And so these are the things that I have done, right? These are the things I have done historically over and over again, and I've gone up and down and up and down. I want to read a scripture here to encourage us and to help us along the way. Do you know that God wants us to consult with him on any and everything, especially big problems that we think need big solutions? Everything that there's a song that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what? Needless pains, right? So there's some pains that God is going to allow to come our way. There's some difficulty and some things that we have to go through, and we understand that. But we need to make sure that we don't lump the needless pains in with that. Have I consulted the Lord on this problem, this issue? Matthew 6:33, what does that read? Familiar scripture once again. What does that read for us this morning?
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all right. righteousness.
All right. All right, so we do this, and we're still talking about my issue and my problem, but I believe that God wants us to seek him first in all things, not just the spiritual things, because here's the problem with this. If we seek him first in the spiritual things, that's great, and that's grand, and that's good, but do you know that the temporal things can affect the spiritual things? Do you know that how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, where I'm at along life's way in terms of what I feel about myself can have an effect upon my relationship with God? And so when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Lord, not only do I want to seek you in spiritual things, but Lord, I want to acknowledge you, and there's another scripture we'll read, but I want to acknowledge you in all my ways. There's a goal that I have, and I'm using a temporal goal to explain the spiritual, all right? There's a goal that I have before you. I can go to God and ask him for guidance in this area, and God will give me guidance in this area as well, a temporal thing. All right, so let's read the other scripture that goes along with this. It's found in Proverbs 3:6. All right, if you beat me there, go ahead and read it. It's another familiar scripture, but if we apply these things to our hearts and to our lives on a regular basis, we can do great things by the grace and help of God. The scripture reads in Proverbs 3:6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is verse number 5. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your paths. I believe that this is, I want us to understand this morning that this is in everything that we do. We need to acknowledge God in all our ways. We don't need to trust in what we think. What happens is, again, I've explained the problem that I had, and these are my solutions. I'm going to eat little to nothing. I'm going to exercise all the time. And again, I'm going to be right back in that cycle. So recently, this happened. So I'm riding miles and miles on my bike. I'm eating little to nothing. I have no energy. I'm losing motivation. And my knees and my back begin to ache. I'm telling you, and I know y'all saw me, I could hardly stand up or sit down without much pain. I'm icing my knees for an hour. I mean, this is all real time. This is all what's happening, right? And you know what? I said, Lord, I need your help. So you know what I did? I went to the altar, and I asked for prayer. Y'all remember that? 2-3 weeks ago, whatever it was. I said, will y'all pray for me? I have pain in my knees and my back. Small adjustments. The first small adjustment was, talk to the Lord about what your problem is.
Right.
Talk to the Lord about what your problem is. Come to the Lord. Well, the Lord, he allowed y'all to pray for me, and the Lord did bless me to a certain degree. But then he began to talk to me throughout the remainder of this day and direct me in a certain area. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. He gave me direction. He said, remember a few months ago when you started this journey, you had a friend who's a cyclist, not a bike rider. I'm a bike rider. He's a cyclist, right? There's a difference. He has all the equipment, knows how to adjust your bike, fix your bike. You hadn't rode your bike in some time, and you want to begin this journey. But did I consult the Lord about all that? No, I said, I know what the problem is. I know what the solution is. I need to get my bike fixed so I can be riding all over the place. So instead of consulting him, I sent my bike to the friend. I wanted to get it tuned up so I can start riding it, right? You ride the bike, you burn the calories, you eat less, you lose more calories, you lose the weight. Makes sense, right? Drastic change, it fixes things, right? So I gave my bike to the guy. He didn't have me there to size me for the bike, but he fixed all the things that need to be fixed. It's not his fault. He did a great job. But when the bike came back, the bike was an inch to an inch and a half. The seat was lower. They call it a saddle. The seat was lower about an inch to an inch and a half. That's all it was. So I'm riding the bike, and gradually over time, because it was too low, it's putting stress on my back, putting stress on my knees, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. All the Lord told me to do is take that bike, lift the seat up about an inch. I'm talking about that much. You can't hardly see it from where you're sitting. Lift that bike up, and that's going to change everything for you. I did it. All I did, I got the bike, took me about 5 seconds, small adjustment, nothing drastic, nothing major. I lifted that bike about an inch, inch and a half. I began to ride that bike again, and the pain began to ease and go away to the point where it's night and day. I said, well, Lord, help me. Why didn't I consult you in the first place? Why didn't I talk to you in the first place? I could have been way further down the road. I'm not discouraged by it, but it's a lesson for me.
Yes.
Just a small adjustment can make all the difference in our success in this walk of life. All it was an inch and a half, and I'm back on the bike. The Lord taught me through that. Stop doing this drastic stuff. Do you know how you got to the place that you're at? Little by little. You got it little by little. You weren't this way 10 years ago, but you kept overeating just a little bit. You kept exercising just not as much as you need to. You didn't get enough sleep. And so the end result was you began to put on weight and begin to have health problems. But that little adjustment, it motivates me to get back on the bike. It motivates me to eat in a more reasonable way. Something that I can sustain, and I'm not under a big stress. That little small adjustment encouraged me, gave me my motivation back, and now I'm back on my journey by the grace and help of God. I'm going to beat this by the grace and help of God. But I'm not going to beat it because I did something drastic or great or tremendous. It's because I sought the Lord, and then he told me what it is that I need to do. And then now, by the grace and help of God, he's going to help me all the way through. I want to read a few scriptures. I'm almost, believe it or not, I'm almost finished here. All right, but I want to read a few scriptures, and I want us to look at some small adjustments that the Lord gave some individuals in the New Testament. One of them took the advice, and in one situation they took what God had given them. It was a very small thing that they needed to do, and God was able to bless them richly. And then the other one, they didn't do as well, and so they ended up having a loss. All right, let's go to John 21, verses 1 through 6. Every once in a while, we'll get up here and we won't be up here all day. And we thank the Lord for that. You probably need a break anyway. John 21, verses 1 through 6. If you beat me there, go ahead and read, please.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias.
All right.
And on this wise showed he himself.
All right.
There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus,
all right,
and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast their four, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes.
Amen. Remember that song, Peter, James, and John? Y'all remember that? Peter, James, and John all went fishing. Peter, James, and John all went fishing out on the deep blue sea. What happened? They fished all night, but they caught no fish. They fished all night, but they caught no fish. They fished all night, but they caught no fish out on the deep blue sea. What's the next verse? Along came Jesus, walking on the water. Along came Jesus, walking on the water. Along came Jesus, walking on the water out on the deep blue sea. What happened then? Cast your nets on the other side. Cast your nets on the other side out on the deep blue sea. Now, I want to make some points here, and I want you to stay with me. What ends up hindering us many times is our own mind and our own understanding. Okay? Dial in on this, all right? So these are fishermen. This is what they do. This is what they do. So they've done this all their life. They're good at it. They probably could catch fish in ways that we don't even know about. Sometimes I watch videos on fishing. There's some stuff that people can do that I don't know anything about. I've never seen it. I know about a rod and reel and cast and wade and all those different things, but there are different ways to do things. I would call them professional fishermen. In our own lives, we come to a place where we think we know. And so instead of consulting the master, we go forward with what we think it is that we need to do. And we don't have the results that we want. And we're picking up in verse number 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught what? They didn't catch no fish. How is that possible? I'm good at this. I've done this all my life. My livelihood has depended on this until now, right? And so in our minds, that's what can happen. We're coming up against something and we're getting no results. We're doing what we always have done. And we feel like it will work, but in this situation, we're getting no results. And so it says here, when the morning was come, verse number 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? You think he didn't know if they had meat or not? He knew. God is looking. I want us to get what God is trying to get over to us. He's looking down at you and me, and he's seeing us struggling against this thing. He's seeing us do all these great and grand things, trying to overcome the problem that is being presented, and he's looking down the whole time, and he has the answer the whole time. And it doesn't have to be anything. Sometimes it is something that is great. But in this instance, what was it? He said, cast your nets on the other side. That's all it was. Nothing is different. It's the same nets. It's the same fishermen. It's the same sea. It's the same whatever. Everything is the same, except let's make this small adjustment and put the nets, instead of putting it on the right side of the ship, the left side of the ship, put it on the right. That's all it was. I want to encourage us this morning. It doesn't have to be something great or grand. You're already saved. You're living for the Lord, and you're trying to be encouraged. You're doing all that you can. You're going to church. You're reading. You're praying. You're doing all of those things. But God has for you. He might have, there's some you coming up against, and you're not having success, and it might just be a small thing that needs to be changed. You might not be doing it exactly the right way. What God wants you to do, and all he needs you to do is just make a small little change. That's all. No big deal. No big deal. I thought about my uncle. He gave me this, and I know others probably know about it too, but it was encouraging to my heart. He knows about my journey and what I'm trying to do. And he told me, he said, there's a thing called a 1% solution. And what it is instead of trying to do it all at once or in a short amount of time, whatever it is you're trying to do, you just do a little bit better every day. A little bit better every day. And if you do 1% better every day, that's 365% in 1 year. I mean, that's not exactly right, the math. But you understand, you're doing better. That's what I'm saying. And so God has those kind of adjustments for us too. Those little small little adjustments that we need to make can mean all the difference in the world. May God bless and may he help us. I want to read about someone that had just a small little adjustment that he needed to make. And we, again, we're familiar with these scriptures, but we want to look at it from this standpoint. All right, Matthew 19, verses number 16 through 21. All right, and it says here, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, I believe that the brother was coming to God, coming to Jesus, and he had a genuine, he wanted to know. He knew something was missing. He wanted to know what it is that he needed to do to obtain eternal life. But I also believe that he had some pride in there. He knew what all he was already doing in the first place, and we'll read down. But he already knew what he already was doing, and so he felt like, you know, he was doing good already, and he was just, I'm just going to check and see if there's some small little thing that I need to do to make sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do. So he said, good master, what must I do? Excuse me, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And we all want eternal life. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments. I believe this scripture is dealing with that portion of him, that pride portion of him. He says, there's none good but God. Don't come to me and try to elevate me and talk to me with these flowery words. I'm reading what's in your heart, and I'm understanding that you do have a need, whether you know it or not. And so he says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments. And what did he respond? He said, he saith unto him, which? So this is he's still struggling here. He said, which one? Because he knows the ones that he's following. He knows the commandments, and he knows that he's following them. We'll read further, and we'll see that. So he says, which? And God knows, too. God knows the condition of your heart. He knows where you're at. So when we come to God, what we need to do is we need to be in sincerity. Lord, I'm trying all these things and I'm working so hard, but I'm not getting where I need to be. What is it, Lord? And we need to have our hearts prepared to accept what God is going to tell us. Right? We need to be willing to listen to what he has for us and to put it into practice to the saving of our souls. And so it says here, it says in verse number 18, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Right? He says, I'm doing all those things. Right? I'm doing all those things. I ain't killing nobody. I honor my father and mother. I'm not doing any of those things you tell me that I'm not supposed to be doing. I'm not doing them. Any of those things that I'm supposed to be doing, I'm doing those things. Right? And then what did Jesus say unto him? Jesus said unto him, this is the 21st verse, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. May God help us. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Small adjustment. Look at all the things that he already was doing. He was doing a lot of good, wasn't he? Some of us as Christians, we want to do all the good. We want to check all the boxes. But the small adjustment of, and this is what this really is talking about, the possessions and all that, that's where his heart was. Because see, it wouldn't matter if he had those possessions. And it wouldn't matter if Jesus told him to do it, go sell y'all, he would, I'm doing all this other stuff, I'm gonna get rid of my possessions too. But what happened was his heart was really on what he loved, which was those things. See? And so all he had to do, he was doing all the other right things. All he had to do was say, Lord, I'm be honest with you, Lord. I love my possessions. I enjoy them. But Lord, I came to you with a request. I wanted to follow you. I want to be what you would have me to be. And so Lord, I'm asking you to help me. I want to do right. Right? It's God that worketh in us both to what? To will and to do of his good pleasure. But what happened was he made a choice at that time. His heart was on those possessions. And so none of us can really serve God and please God by checking all the boxes. None of us can do that. We need to make that small adjustment. And remember when I first began, when we first got up here, we talked about what is a small adjustment. And then we talked about its relation to what it is that we stand to gain or what it is that we want. Right? We want to go to heaven. We want to please God. Heaven is a holy place. It's got, it has everything that we could ever want beyond what we could ever think, right? So isn't it a small adjustment for you and I if our heart isn't where it needs to be at, like it is in this story? Isn't it a small thing for me to say, Lord, help my heart, change my heart, help me to do what it is that you want me to do? I want to love you from my heart. I want to live for you from the heart, Lord. And it's a small thing. It's not a big deal for me to get rid of all these things, these other things that are standing in the way of me being what you'd have me to be. May God help us. Sometimes a small thing is pride. Sometimes a small thing is pride. Somebody did me wrong. And they did. They actually did do you wrong. And they may have done you wrong in a very bad way. And so we feel justified in having a little pride, a little unforgiveness, a little revenge in our hearts. Huh? And so God comes to us and he says, listen, you need to make a small adjustment here. You need to get rid of that. First of all, that pride is doing nothing for you. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You don't need that pride. Get rid of it. If you're going to live for me, if you're going to serve me, if you're going to be what I would have you to be, this is the Lord speaking, then get rid of that pride, that unforgiveness. Give that to me. That revenge that you have in your heart, give that to me. Let me deal with that. But you keep your, we talked about it this morning, great Sunday school lesson this morning, encouraging to our heart. But we talked about what we need from the Lord is that relationship to be intact. Yes. Right? God does not need us checking boxes. God does not need us doing something great and great. I'm going to earn $1 million and I'm going to give it all to the Lord. God, I don't need you doing that. God needs you to live from day to day like he would have you to live. Right? But we want to do the great and big and grand things, and we're neglecting that heart. May God help us. Bring your heart to God. Get the instruction from him in terms of what it is that you need to do, and then ask him to help you to do it.
Amen.
This is the answer to that big, great, and huge problem that you and I are faced with, that we think we need to do something enormous in order to be successful. Cast your net on the other side. Give your heart to the Lord. And what I mean by that is, get your instructions from God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be added unto you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Bring that problem, that issue, whatever it is that you're going through, bring that to him. And then don't be like the rich young ruler. Don't be like that one. If you're bringing it to the Lord, then know that he's going to have a response for you. Whether you like it or not, that's secondary. That has nothing to do with anything. God is not always going to tell us things that we like. God is not going to always have us do things that we want to do. Right? God is our Heavenly Father. And just like parents have to tell their children things about themselves, I would rather not have to tell my children things about themselves. I would rather not have them do things that they need to do. But if they're going to be of any value and of any worth, and this is the same way God looks at us, then he's going to tell us the things that we need to hear. He's going to make the small adjustments, if we'll allow him, that need to be made in order to be children of the Most High God. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning that God has a blessing for you. He has a blessing for you. And it may not be some great and grand thing that you need to do in order to get that blessing. What you need to do first is go to the Lord, ask him what he has to say about it, humble yourself and to what his will is, follow that will and be blessed. I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. I want to live in a way that is pleasing unto God. I want to be what he would have me to be. I want to be a doer of the word, not just somebody that's saying something, not just somebody that's hearing something, but I want to have the word of God deep down in my heart. And when I'm faced with something that I need the Lord's help in, which is on an everyday basis, I want to get used to. I want to leave you with this. Your habits carry you. Did you know that? I'll say that again. Your habits carry you. Right? What you habitually do, I told you about the riding that I do. I go early in the morning and I go to the same park. I park in the same place. Your habits carry you. We're humans. We're habitual. Right? And so when God makes those small adjustments, what he's wanting to do is change your habits. Change your mode of operation, what you normally do. If you normally lean to your own understanding, then God wants to change that. He wants you to learn to lean on him. Learn to trust in him. And then once we get in the habit of that, I'm not just talking about checking boxes, but when we have a problem, when we're faced with something, what I normally do is I want to go to God first. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about us all. What we do is we go to God first and get his leading and his guiding on what's going on. And then we follow that. But if we don't do that, then we'll get in the habit of not doing that. And then where will we end up then? May God help us this morning. I trust that you are
encouraged this morning. I know that I am. I believe that God wants to do great things for us. But we're going to have to trust him. We're going to have to serve him. We're going to have to seek his guidance. And when he makes those adjustments unto us, stop acting like they're so big and so great and so grand and so difficult. He did it for us. Why can't we do it for him?
Yeah.
May God help us this morning. I appreciate your time and your attention. Your prayers for me. I want to make heaven my home. Please continue to pray for me. I will be praying for you.
Amen.